Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This episode is a second collection of 70s Italian crime films. I hope you enjoy the show. Hi, I hope you're ready for some more of those cheesy Italian gems made in the 1970s called Polizio Tesco. For those of you who missed the first batch, here's a brief history of Polizio Tesco. In the 1970s, Italy was in absolute turmoil. There was political instability, no law and order, corruption, tons of crime. And as a result, the filmmakers in Italy created a genre of film all about this situation, mirroring this reality that they were living through. And it was called Polizio Tesco. Now, nearly all of these films, they couldn't be made nowadays in the politically correct environment. And they remain a curiosity to anyone interested in the history of cinema. There's plenty of action, humorous dialogue, and all kinds of exploitation. So let's get going. Colt 38 Special Squad was made in 1976 by Massimo Dallamano, and he'd cut his teeth earlier on by working on Sergio Leone's Western trilogy. Now, this film stars the great Marcel Borsuffi, who you may remember as the hitman chased by Gene Hackman in the subway trains in The French Connection. Borsuffi plays a police captain in this film, and he ends up forming a special motorbike squad of his own to combat the crime in the city. The film doesn't let up for one second. There's robberies, kidnappings, assassinations, terrorism, even a bombing campaign. It's just a day's work for an average cop.
I loved you before, in another world, from my past into my future, you heard. And I love you forever, again and again. Darling, our love, it can never die, 'cause our love
La mano spietata della legge, or The Bloody Hand of the Law, was written and directed by Mario Gariazzo in 1973. This has got Klaus Kinski appearing as the head of a hit squad, and he's tasked to remove all the witnesses of a mob assassination. But Kinski doesn't have one word of dialogue throughout the film. Well, actually, he does say hello when he answers a phone just the once. There's rather a nasty scene with a blowtorch as well, which is quite interesting. Philip Leroy plays the police commissioner trying to catch up with the crooks. It's thoroughly absorbing, this one, and must be seen.
Thank you.
The next one up is called Napoli Spara, made in 1977, and it stars Henry Silver as an oily gangster who's up to mayhem. He's being chased by a police commissioner played by Leonard Mann. It's got all the usual ingredients, plus a subplot involving a street urchin who the policeman takes a shine to, and he tries to keep him on the straight and narrow. There's great scenes shot in Naples fish market and the castle, and they were made without permission by the director Mario Caiano because he had a very tight budget. Vai Gorilla, or Go Gorilla Go, in 1975, that's got Fabio Testi as an undercover policeman, and he's posing as an ambitious thug. He takes a job on as a bodyguard of an industrialist who's being blackmailed. And on the way, he makes the acquaintance of Al Lettieri, playing a local villain who befriends him. He soon gets involved in the blackmail himself, and the plot gets more and more complicated, but it's just about followable. There's a great scene in an elevator. That's the highlight for me. Tonino Valeri directed, and he did a good job. And, of course, Al Lettieri is always worth the price of admission. The great score was composed by Fabio Frizzi, Franco Bixio, and Vincenzo Tempera.
Thank you.
Mario Caiano did it again with Milano Violenta in 1976. There's a robbery going on by a gang, but it goes awfully wrong and they end up taking hostages. But then that doesn't go to plan either. So they end up turning on one of their number, who's played by Claudio Cassinelli. Unfortunately, it's probably the worst decision they make. Cassinelli is really good in this role. He usually plays a cop, so it's out of his comfort zone. Along the way, he teams up with the beautiful Silvia Dionisio, but he's always one step ahead of the police force. In Blood and Diamonds, 1977, Claudio Cassinelli again plays a crook. This time he's just been released from jail for a robbery. His girlfriend meets him, but unfortunately the bus they get on is robbed. I won't tell you anymore. The script for this, directed by Fernando Di Leo, it's really above average. And Cassinelli is really well supported by Barbara Boucher and the great Martin Balsam as his adversary. Music is by Louis Bakalov. Thank you. Next, we have Italia a mano armata, made in 1976, directed by Mario Girolami, and it stars the great Maurizio Merli. Now, Maurizio Merli is unfairly dismissed as a lookalike for Franco Nero, but he's actually much more convincing as a cop than Franco Nero ever was. And Nero seems to work better in the darker films of the giallo genre as a cop. So Maurizio Merli is capable of great mood shifts on camera. He plays Commissario Betti in this film, and it's the third film in a series, a trilogy. And this has a great beginning. A bank robbery goes wrong again, and they take a hostage again. But the hostage is actually one of the gang. Very clever start. John Saxon is excellent as the gangster called Albertelli. The score is by Franco Michalizzi.
Thank you.
La Polizia ha le mani legate, excuse my Italian. That translates as The Police Has Its Hands Tied. This was a film made in 1975, directed by Luciano Ercoli. And he was better known for his gialli films. This one starred Claudio Cassinelli in a more familiar role for him as a young police commissioner. Now, he's trying to get to the bottom of a bombing that takes place in a smart hotel. Arthur Kennedy appears as the veteran DA, also trying to solve the case. It's a really good ride, this movie, and the music excellent by Stelvio Cipriani. Spiro la tua legge e lente, from 1979. This was directed by Stelvio Massi and stars Maurizio Merli, who's recalled from the French Interpol to help investigate a series of murders of financiers, bankers and lawyers in Milan. Mario Merli, the big-hearted Neapolitan singer, he appears in this film as the owner of a string of restaurants. But he could be more involved than it first seems. Music again by Stelvio Cipriani. From Corleone to Brooklyn, made in 1979. Now, this is a Polizia Tesco with a difference. It's set in Sicily and New York. Mario Merrilli is in this one again, and he's playing a gangster, and he's responsible for a mob murder in Sicily, and he can feel the heat's on him, so he moves to New York. While he's there, he puts out a contract on the two people who identify him and finger him, and one of the hits goes wrong. And Maurizio Merli has to escort the survivor of this failure to New York to testify for Merrilli's extradition. I hope you got all that. Of course, Merrilli, the gangster, is intent on stopping them getting to New York. This is really an engrossing Polizia Tesco, and it's got a great script. It was written and directed by Umberto Lenzi, and he did a great job. Franco Michelizzi supplied the score. I'm going to leave you with one more Maurizio Merli pick called Paura Incita, and it's from the director Giuseppe Rosati and made in 1976. It co-stars James Mason and Silvia D'Anicio, and if you like your Polizia Tescos, you won't be disappointed with this one. Maurizio Merli is again the bad boy cop who is recalled from the provinces to clear up an unsolved string of murders. James Mason plays the DA, who's unhappy about his return, but he finally gives him all the approvals he's looking for. Raymond Pellegrin plays the head villain with the surprising name of Lettieri, and he escapes from a jail at the beginning. We find out he was responsible for Maurizio Merli's wife and daughter being murdered in a car bomb. Giampaolo Chiti did the score.
Thank you.
Maurizio Merli, for me, personifies this genre of crime flick. He just fits the role of the no-nonsense cop more than anyone else I've seen in Poliziotescos. He's very easy to sympathise with. He did most of his own stunts and was extremely superbly fit. He died of a heart complaint just after playing a game of tennis when he was only 49 years old. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of the excellent music from this second collection of Poliziotesco films, and do try and catch some of them if you get the chance.